Hey True North, it's Monday, May 4th. My name is Eugene, and welcome to the 16th episode of True North Daily. This morning, we have the privilege of having a guest host. He's someone I met recently, but I've been extremely blessed from his teaching and writing. His name is Jay Kim. He is the teaching and leadership pastor at Vintage Faith Church in Santa Cruz, California, which is just down the street from most of us here. And he's actually the author of a recently published book entitled Analog Church, Why We Need Real People, Places, and Things in the Digital Age. Now, what's either a coincidence or sovereignty from God, this book was published March 31st of this year, which is only 2 weeks into the shelter in place here in the Bay Area. Now, given this book, I really wanted to see his own insight and opinion in how our church can stay connected in this digital age that almost every church in the globe is currently going through because of this pandemic, and to also see lessons we can learn as a church as we're hopefully able to meet physically in the near or possibly far future. So we hope you're blessed this morning by Jay.
Hey, True North Church. My name is Jay Kim, and I am a pastor here in the Bay Area in your neck of the woods, and I hope that this finds you well. And I know that it probably finds you in all sorts of ways because of the strange, unique, complex, and uncertain time in which we find ourselves in the midst of sheltering in place and the massive disruption that COVID-19 has brought upon our daily lives. And I'm right there with you. I'm recording this in my makeshift office at home, also known as my bedroom, tempted by the lure of my bed right next to this desk every single day, and hearing the murmurs as well as the screams at different times of the day of my two little kids outside in the living room. And man, what a strange time. And one of your pastors, Eugene, who I have such deep respect for, invited me to share just a few thoughts about the time we're in, and in particular, what it might mean for us to be the church in such a time, and what the church actually is, and maybe what it isn't, and ultimately, what this sort of historical moment, what a global pandemic that forces us into isolation might actually teach us and reveal to us about what it means to be the body of Christ. And that's first and foremost such an interesting thought that we, the church, are the body of Christ. Because when I think about a body, and the New Testament writers favor that as a metaphor, that we are a body. You know, I just turned 40 last year, and as I've aged, I've sort of increasingly become aware of the frailty, the fragility, and the slow and unceasing decay of my human body, as the weight doesn't come off nearly as easily, as I can't just eat whatever I wanted to eat as I did in my early 20s without really paying the price. I'm just so deeply aware of how fragile and sensitive in so many ways, and maybe most importantly, how interconnected everything is when it comes to my body. You know, what is pleasurable to eat and what tastes good in my mouth may actually wreak havoc in my body. And the reality is, you know, even if one part of me enjoys a particular thing, if another part of my body is hurting and in pain because of that same thing, then the reality is I have to sacrifice the enjoyable for the sake of the health of the body as a whole. Because when one part of me hurts, all of me hurts. You know, I don't ever say, oh, you know, my finger hurts, but the rest of me feels great, so let's move on. If one part of my body hurts, then I'm in pain, and all of my focus and energy goes to that place. And so if that is the metaphor, if that's the go-to metaphor in the New Testament for what it means to be the people of God, if we are truly the body of Christ, then How do we make sense of that in a time and in place and a moment, historical moment, when we are detached, when we are forcibly detached? There's so much to say here, but I think the first thing I would say is, first and foremost, sheltering in place and physical separation and the isolation in which we're living right now seems to be the wise and responsible thing to do. I read this beautiful essay in the New York Times by Wheaton College professor Esau Macaulay a couple of weeks ago, and he talks about how strange this moment is for the church, because it may be, very well be, the first time in our history, at least, that it's a moment where we are to bless the world, not with our presence, but with our very absence. And he says it beautifully. He says that it is our absence that is the shape of Christian faithfulness in this time. So I'm with him, you know, the forced isolation and the separation and living over Zoom meetings and digital screens seems to be, again, the wise and responsible thing to do, driven by our love for neighbor and a collective push toward the common good. But my hope, and my guess would be your hope, whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you're going through right now, my guess, and I think it's a safe guess, is that our collective hope is that this is not our eternal reality. I would venture to guess that most of us, if not all of us, are probably feeling and sensing some onset of digital fatigue. That the Zoom meetings and the FaceTime chats and the Google Hangouts and the Skype calls, they're all incredibly helpful, and we're grateful for the digital technologies that allow us to at least stay pseudo-connected in this time of separation. But there's something in us, deep in our body and in our bones, that longs for human connection, that longs to be together. I know you guys had Brett McCracken on recently on this podcast, and he's got this beautiful book called Uncomfortable that he wrote a couple of years ago. And in it, he says this line about the body of Christ, about Christian community. He says the commitment matters more than compatibility when it comes to the body of Christ. And that line has always struck me, but it's fascinating in this time of forced isolation and not being around the people who make up my particular local church, my particular unique body of Christ that I belong to. And that line is just, it's come alive in me, because I found myself in recent weeks not just longing to be with and missing the people at my church, part of my body, who I'm most compatible with. Obviously, I miss them and long to see them and be with them, but I have found myself missing and longing to be with the entire breadth of our local church body. Those that I'm incredibly compatible with, those that I have always wanted to spend time with, as well as those that I'm not all that compatible with, people that I don't have a whole lot in common with. And this line has just really come alive for me. And it makes all the sense in the world when I think about it, because followers of Jesus have always been drawn into relationship with one another, not based on our preferences for each other, but out of calling, the calling of Christ himself. This is why in Matthew's gospel in chapter 10, verses 2-4, the writer Matthew, he lists off the names of Jesus's 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, those who would eventually launch the Christian movement. And it says this, that these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Matthew, the tax collector, and Simon the Zealot. Why are those identity markers, tax collector and zealot, so important? Many of you know this, but in the first century Jewish world, if you can imagine the socio-political spectrum of the day in the Jewish world, there the two polar opposite ends of that spectrum would have been tax collectors and zealots. Tax collectors were considered traitors to their own people, and zealots were those who were willing to give their very lives to uphold and defend what they believed to be real Jewish identity. And tax collectors were like their sworn enemies. And tax collectors, in turn, saw zealots as their sworn enemies, those who were out to harm them, maybe even kill them, as they were sometimes known to do. And yet Jesus calls these two, Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot, into community with one another. And I think when we're in this sort of liminal space, you know, this time in history when we are, again, forced into separation from one another, it's an opportunity for us to really pay attention and live with the sort of awareness that we lose so often when life is ordinary and normal and regular. And when normal and regular is disrupted and we're dislocated from the everyday norms of our lives, it's an opportunity for us to truly pay attention to the ways in which God is teaching us and forming us and shaping us. You know, the theologian Carmen Imes, in a beautiful book called Bearing God's Name, she writes this, that God has lessons to teach us that can only be learned in a state of dislocation, lessons about who we are and about who he is and how he's calling us to be in the world. Wrapped in liminality are gifts such as perseverance, perspective, rest, creativity, empathy, gratitude, and most of all, faithfulness. And what is it that he is calling us to be faithful to in a time like this? I would suggest to you there's lots of things, and there's all sorts of personal renewal that the Spirit of God longs to bring to bear within each and every one of us as we live our lives hunkered down in our homes. But one of the things I believe that God really longs to do in us in this state of dislocation, disruption, and liminality as we look forward to an uncertain future is I believe he longs to bring to bear and deepen within us an awareness, a deeper, heightened, and all things, left and right, east and west, north and south, to broaden our awareness of the fact that as the body of Christ, we long for and need one another. As the New Testament letters make so clear throughout that the body of Christ, Christian community, is called to serve one another, to bear with one another, to speak to one another, to meet together, to encourage one another, to offer hospitality and experience fellowship and confess, to listen, learn, pray, and eat together. And that's just to name a few. And here is the deal. All of those things are difficult at best and impossible at worst to do over a Zoom call. And so while we're here, while we are in forced isolation and separation, let's do our best to stay connected. But all the while, my hope and prayer is that the deep longing in our body and bones to be with one another might drive us to that place that when this is over, we can re-engage in deeper, more meaningful and significant ways what it means to be the body of Christ together, God's gathered people. Peace to you in these uncertain times. Again, I do hope you are well.
Analog Church is available at all major bookstores and Amazon as well. We hope as a church you're able to go out and get this book. I've gone recently. It's been a big blessing in my own life. And we hope you have a blessed day.